Begin the current daf, Maseches Vachim, daf Kuf Yud Alef. Begin two lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion with the previous daf, which we were discussing in the halacha of our previous Mishnah, regarding the laws of Nisuch Hamayim, which was done on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. If one does it Bachutz, which is the topic of this parak, regarding the liability of doing it outside, which we had a Machlekes, we had different interpretations, and actually one of them related to the laws of comparing it to Nisuch Hayayin. So the Gemara continues with the related discussion, a related brisa regarding another machlokes in these laws. So turn around and learn the brisa. Hamenasech shleish lugin yayin b'chutz. If someone pours a libation of 3 lug of wine out of the area of the Hazara, says the Tanna Kamma, chayv, he's going to be liable for the isra of halal b'chutz, of sacrificing outside. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he says, v'hushe kitchen b'kli, but this is only if it was sanctified first in a vessel. So the Gemara asks my benai regarding what are they disagreeing about. So this is where it also relates to the discussion in the previous staff when we discussed a similar idea in the Nisach HaMayim. This is where we're talking about the libations of the wine, which was done with the carbon tumet every single day. Many carbonists had these Nisachim that came with them. So Amar Vada Bar Rav Yitzchak, he says, Beirutzei Midos Ike Beinai. The difference between them is regarding the measurement that floats on top of the edge of the vessel. Meaning both Tanoic opinions require, which was a discussion that we had in the previous staff, but both of these Tanoim agree that it has to be sanctified in the vessel first to be considered the element of Kachim, to be liable for doing it on the outside. However, the Rabbanan hold that regarding even the liquids that are floating on the top, they're not inside the area of the vessel itself, they're still considered sanctified because they're contained by the vessel. Whereas Rabbi Elazar held that no, they're not sanctified because you need to have it within the airspace of the vessel, and here it's floating on top. Which this idea is a machlekes tanoim seftes nuchas da pei chesem and aleph, and that is what they're disagreeing about. They both hold it has to be niskadish b'kli, but Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that v'hushe kitchen b'kli because it has to be in the airspace, whereas the Tanna Kamma said no, it could even be floating on the top. It will still have been considered niskadish b'kli to be chayiv for having poured it on the outside. Another interpretation, Rava Bereid Rabba Amar, he says that actually the Tanna Kamma holds that no, it does not have to be sanctified in a vessel. And Karvu Nisachim Bebama Ikabinai, the difference between them is regarding if one would pour libations on a private altar. And that is contingent, as we're going to shortly see on the Machlekes, if they were pouring libations in the Karbanis that they brought in the Midbar, even in the Oil Maid, where according to Tanna Kamma, they did bring such nesachim in the Midbar. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, they did not bring, as we explained this similarly in the previous staff, as the Gemara explains, that it beplukta dahana tanoi, that this machlik is regarding if they poured libations on a bama or not, which thus that would have ramifications if one would be chayv b'chutz, if it was not in the Skadish b'kli. Tanna Kamma holds you are chayv even if it's not in the Skadish b'kli, because you see that it is considered a valid nesachim, even not niskadish b'kli, because he holds that they would do nisach hayayin on karbanos that they brought above mesachim, and by a private altar there are no clay shards, there's no service vessels, and still you see it's considered nesachim. So hence one would be chayv for doing a b'chutz, even though it's not niskadish b'kli. Now this is contingent, as the Gemara is going to shortly bring regarding the same machlekes, if they brought nesachim in the midbar, in the oil ma'id, in the mishkan or not. Tanag linda b'risa, b'mes yachid. Rebbe says that a private altar does not require libations. The Chacham say, no, even in the private altar, the Karbanis require libations. So it comes out, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is like Rebbe, that says, no, there's no libations. We don't have a source for Nesachim being without clay shards, because the Bamas Yachad does not have Nesachim. And therefore, that's why he says that there's no Nesachim in the private altar. Now, therefore, like we said, so you don't find the Sachem except in the case of when it was sanctified in the vessel. Where's the Tanna Kamma? Hold like Rabbanan, who they say that there are in the Sachem by a private altar. So obviously you see that in the Sachem apply, even without klisharas. Now, continues the Gemara and says, V'hani Tanoi Kanida Tanoi. Now, this that we showed, that this first Machlekes Tanoim is the same Machlekes Tanoim as Rebbe and the Rabbanan. As we said, that not only contingent are you chayv b'chutz, if you're also going to have Nesachim by Bamas Yachad or not, but that same Machlekes, if you can have Nesachim by Bamas Yachad or not, is contingent on another Machlekes regarding if they had Nesachim in the Midbar, when was it that they started Nesachim, and how do we interpret a Pasuk that the Brice is going to bring? Tain Lekulim the Brice. It says in the Pasuk in Parsha Shlach, when it talks about the Parsha of requiring Nesachim, libations, wine libations by Karbanis, the Pasuk says, Ki Savayu, when they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, oh, then when they're going to bring karbanas, then they're going to bring libations. So says the Tanakhama, Lahatina nesachim bebama gedoy la'kasam adabo. The pasuk is coming to tell you that they didn't bring nesachim in the midbar. It's saying, but when they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, then they're going to become obligated in bringing nesachim. Now, and what's it talking about? It's talking about in the Mishkan, what we call the Bama Sibra, the public Bama, that of the people, but not a Bama Siachar, a private person. That's what the Pasuk is talking about. And that says, the Tanakama Ata'ima B'Bama Gedoyla, is that really so? Are you going to say that it's referring to the public, the Mizbeach that was there, wherever the, was it in a temporary Mishkan or a permanent Mishkan? Or says Tanakhama, no, maybe the pasuk is coming to tell you that even by a private altar, because actually maybe, and this is what the Tanakhama is saying, you would entertain to say, by the Bama Gedoyla, by the public altar, that of the people, maybe in the Midbar they also had already been brought Nesachim. It's just that up until now, they were never allowed any private altars, because the 40 years that they were in the Midbar, private altars were forbidden when the Mishkan had been there in the beginning of their sojourn in the desert. Yeah, but now the Pasuk maybe is telling you, but now when they came to Eretz Yisrael, so for the years that they were conquering and dividing up Eretz Yisrael, for those 14 years, Bamas were permitted, and maybe it's coming to tell you, oh, now that you have private altars, so now you're going to have to be obligated in the Sachem over there by Bamas Yachad. Maybe that's what the Pasuk is referring to. So the Tanakhama, no. Because Kishuem, when the Pasuk says over there, that when you're going to come El Eretz Moshevei Sechem, to the land of your settlement, which the Girsa takes at the word Begamer, because the Pasuk then just continues, Asha Ani Noisin Lochem, which I give to you, it's referring to the plurality of the Jewish people as one. What are we talking about? We're talking about the altar that applies to all of you equally, which is referring to the Bama Gedoyla, and not the Bama Katana, that of every individual. That's the Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel holds. Now, Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he disagrees. He says, Ki Savayu, when it says that when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, Latina, what's coming to obligate is Nesachim B'Bama Ketana Kasamadaber. It's talking about the requirement of libations on every single person's individual private altar. Because Rabbi Kiva holds regarding the Bama Gedoyla was not necessary, because as he holds, that actually in the Midbar they had already been bringing Nesachim throughout the 40 years in the Midbar. So, which Rabbi Kiva says, wait, Ato'ema l'bama g'tan, is that really so? Is the pasuk coming to say that it's an obligation regarding a private altar? Maybe the pasuk is talking about regarding the public altar, and it's coming to tell you that no, actually, that they did not bring Nesachim in the Midbar, and it's only going to start now by the Mizbeach, that now they're going to start Nesachim in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Rabbi Kiva, which he interprets differently than Rabbi Shmuel. Kishu Emrel, Eretz Moshevei Seich, when it says in the pasuk that when you're going to come to the land of your settlement, what does it mean, Meshavei Seichem? It's talking about throughout your settled land, which is, where do you have Mizbeches throughout the whole Eretz Yisrael? It means every person's private altar, because regarding the Bama Sibra, the public one, that is only in one place. It's not B'chol Eretz Meshavei Seichem. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds that he interprets the word Meshavei, means to say after the land was divided and settled, that's what the word Meshavei, only then was when the halacha of the Bama Gedoyla applied, it's when then they started having the halacha of Nesachim. But before then there was not the halacha of Nesachim, and therefore, says the Gemara, Kishatim Salema, when you find, you're going to say that Ladivri Rabbi Yishmael, like Karvan Nesachim and Midbar. According to Yishmael, what it comes out, the way he interprets the Pasuk, is they did not bring Nesachim in the Midbar. So what the Pasuk is telling you, yes, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, then you can bring the Nesachim, not on the private altar, in the public altar, because this is the first time they started. Whereas the Rebbe Kiva carved the Nesachim in Midbar, whereas according to Rebbe Kiva, they brought the Nesachim already in the Midbar. So therefore, what's it saying that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you can bring the Nesachim, they already did it the 40 years in the desert? Must be it's coming to say, that even for your private altars, which only starts now when you came to Eretz Yisrael, that there was a period of permitted private altars, that's what it's obligating, and therefore it's also saying that obviously you don't need to have it in a vessel, because in private altars there's no vessel, and therefore it's going according to that same opinion. Those are the three different Tannaic opinions that were showing parallel each other, that obviously one would be chayv b'chutz, even though it's not in the Skadish B'kli, because that's contingent on the idea saying that it was carved b'bamas yachad, which does not have a kli sharis, which that's contingent on the idea and saying that they already have been bringing the sachem already in the midbar. And therefore, you can't say Kisavayu is coming to include the Bama Gedoyla, because you already had Bama Gedoyla in the Mishkan. Rather, must be saying regarding the Bama Katana of every single individual. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, that Reb Nechemya Eimer, he added on another halacha regarding these elements that our parak is talking about, regarding liability of halal b'chutz. He said, Sheyari Hadam, Shekrivim Bachutz, even regarding the remnant, the leftover bloods of a carbon chatas, after that all the zrikas were done, but then you have the leftovers which are supposed to be spilled on the side of the Mizbeach, if one pours that blood Bachutz on the outside, is he Michaev, is he going to be liable for that too? On that, Rabbi Yechanan, he explains that Tanu Reb Nechemya, Reb Nechemya taught in our Mishnah, his halacha, Kedivri Ha'ema, like the one who says in Perek Ezum, Mukaiman, and Dafnan Bezim and Aleph, that Shirayim, even the leftover blood, is Ma'akvin, that it's integral for the validity of the Karbachatas, and therefore, it's considered a bona fide service of the Avaida to be liable for doing on the outside, just like when one is Chayiv for throwing the Zrika's Dam of any carbon on the outside. Now, on this interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara asks Meisve, from a brisa where Reb Nechemya Omer, Reb Nechemya talks about this opinion that he says in our Mishnah in this following brisa. He says, "Sheyari hadam shekrivim b'chutz chayiv." He says, like he said in the Mishnah, the leftover blood, if one sacrifices on the outside, he pours it outside, he's going to be liable. On that, the brisa continues and says, "Amalei Reb Akiva." Reb Akiva disagreed with Reb Nechemya. He said, "V'haloi sheyari hadam sheyari mitzvahim." But the leftover blood of Makar Machatas, that's considered the remnants of the mitzvah, meaning that it's not integral for the primary atonement of the carbon, as the Gemara says over the Imperik Ezim Mekayman. You would think that it would be ma'akev the kapara. That's what it says, Veskol Adam, that it removes it and it makes it into some type of a leftover part of the mitzvah. So therefore, if it's not the integral piece, how could you say that one would be chayiv for doing something that's not primary, as a primary avodah, to be chayiv on it, the shirayim, which are just shiur mitzvah, for doing it b'chutz? On that, Amalai, Reb Nechemya said back to Reb Akiva, what do you mean? Evarnu pedarn yechichu. The limbs and the fats, the different parts of the karbanos, which are burnt on the top of Mizbech throughout the night, they could disprove your question on me. Shehen shiur mitzvah. They're also the remnants of the mitzvah, because they're not integral for the atonement of a karban, because the primary atonement for a karban is only the blood. Now, yes, then you take certain sacrificial parts and you burn them as bech, but they're just shiari mitzvah. If you wouldn't do the emur, and they would still have the atonement, and yet still v'hamakriv b'chutz chayev, if one sacrifices these sacrificial parts on the outside, he's chayev, so obviously your question is not valid. On that, I'm a lie. Reb Akiva says back to him, Nechem, you lie. No. Im amarta be'var mabudarm, if you're going to say that you're chayev, even though they're shiari mitzvah, they varm b'dorm on the outside, shein tchilas avayda, because they're still the beginning of their own individual act of service, which Taktoris Emurim, which is what actually the Tefillah of Ma'ariv correlates to, is its own a separate Avaida. So yeah, maybe even though it's Shiyar Mitzvah, it could be Chayav B'chutz. But Taimish Shiyar Adam, are you going to say the same thing regarding the leftovers of the blood? She'en in Tchilas Avaida. It's not the beginning of a service. It's the end. It's the leftovers of the Zrukas Adam. Regarding that, says Rabbi Kiva, it wouldn't seem appropriate to be Chayav for doing that B'chutz. That's the price. Now that asked the Gemara and Rabbi Yechanan, v'im isa, now if it's so, like Rabbi Yechanan says, that according to Reb Nechemya, the reason why he says you're going to be chayiv b'chutz for doing the shiur adam is because it's actually ma'akiv, he's going like that, man domah, that holds it's integral for the atonement, then lay malay, then Reb Nechemya should have just responded to Rabbi Kiva, that hani nami me'akvi, that these the shiur adam is just as much as Navaida, like all the other matanis of the Zrika, which everyone agrees when you do the Zrika's Adam of the primary Zrika's of a carbon, you're chayiv doing on the outside. Here also the Shirayim are ma'akiv, they're integral. So it's the same thing as Zrika's. Why is he saying, proving from Avarma Badarm, just say clearly, it's just like the rest of the Zrika's. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta, yeah, you're correct, that's a refutation of Rabbi Yechanan. Obviously, the reason why Nechemi held the chayiv on the outside is not because he held it's ma'akiv, because if that would be the case, he would have just answered him by saying that it's just like every other zrika. Of course, you're going to be chayiv for doing a bachutz. It's not considered shiari mitzvah. It's the integral part of the mitzvah. However, the Gemara says, v'hashtu d'amr avad b'rava. But now that we have the interpretation of avad b'rava, that he actually says, machleikis in perik ezu mekayman, which is where the Gemara has this discussion regarding if the shirayim, the leftover blood of the karmachatis ma'akav or not, he qualifies and he says, their whole disagreement is only b'shiyarim ha'panimim, regarding the leftover of the inner karbanos chatas, where there, all their matanos of dam are integral for the atonement. So it's regarding there that then they have a machlekes, but what's with the shirayim? Meaning, a regular karbanos chatas that you have to do four different gifts of blood, so we say that even though you're supposed to do four, but if you do either one or two, you already have the atonement. So over there is that's not where their machlekes is. The machlekes is regarding shirayim ha'pnimim, where there everyone agrees you have to do every single one of those seven or whatever the number that you have to do in the shirayim ha'pnimim to have the atonement. That's where their machlekes is. And what's with the leftover blood? Oh, someone to say that even over there, even that would be integral. Av b'shirayim ha'chitzayim, but Rav Rabbah says regarding the outer chatois, regarding the leftover, the outer bloods of the karmachatas, Now, there everyone's going to agree that that's not going to withhold the validity of the atonement of the Karma Chatas. Now, so therefore, it says the Gemara, based on that, you could say, to resolve for Rabbi Yechidon, that ki kam Reb Nechemi, when did Reb Nechemi say this halacha? That Rabbi Yechidon was qualifying in his opinion. That you're going to be chayiv for doing the halacha b'chutz of the shirayi hadam of the chatas. That was b'shirayim hapanimim. That was in the leftover bloods of the inner chatas. Yeah, those bloods are ma'akiv, the Rabbi Yechidon said it. And yes, if one does the b'chutz, he's going to be chayiv. Kitan Yahi, when did we learn that brisa, which seemingly that the Gemara had asked, we see Reb Nechemi agreeing to Reb Akiva, that the Shiyari Adam are just considered Shiyari mitzvah, the remnants, and not integral, and not being ma'akiv. That was Bishirayim HaChitzoinim. That was regarding the leftover bloods of the outer chatois. Yeah, there Reb Nechemi would agree that if one sacrificed those bloods on the outside, he would be exempt, because they're not integral, and therefore it's not difficult for Reb Yechanan. Reb Nechemi, and our mission is talking about Shiyarim HaPanimi, and those are ma'akiv, and that's why he holds Yechayiv, whereas the other brisa he was talking about, the Shiyarim HaChitzoinim. That as the Gemara, as the Girsa has it, as the Tzen Kaddishim brings, and the Gemara brings on the Mesiris HaShas, the Girsa of Rashi is, Ihachi, if that's the case, so then why exactly did Reb Nechemi respond to Reb Akiva by saying, oh, you're asking me from the Loch of Shirayim, that it's just Shiyarim Mitzvah. So he brought him a proof that another Shiyarim Mitzvah of Hekter Varm Upadarm, that's also Shiyari Mitzvah, and you're still Yichai for doing it on the outside. But that has to Gemara, but if that's the case, then Neimalei, then Reb Nechemi should have just said to Reb Akiva, Ki Amri Ano, when did I say my halacha is bepanimiyim? What do you mean? I'm talking about the Shiyari HaPanimim, the way the Gemara just answered. Not b'Shiyari HaChatzainim. What are you asking on me? And you're saying, Reb Nechemi, Shiyari HaChatzainim? That's Shiyari Mitzvah. How could you say something that's not integral is going to be chayiv for doing it on the outside? On that, the question is, what exactly was Rabbi Akiva even asking him? And why didn't Reb Nechemi just say straight out, I'm not talking about Shiyari HaChatzainim, I'm talking about Shiyari HaPanimim. Shiyari HaChatzainim, Rabbi Akiva, I agree to you, you're not going to be chayiv. I'm talking about Shiyari HaPanimim. Says the Gemara, you're right, but ledvar of Rabbi Akiva kama. Reb Nechemi was going according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which is, Reb Nechemi was saying, according to me, the Shirayim are being ma'akiv, which there are those that interpret what he was saying is that Shirayim HaChitzainim are ma'akiv, even like the way Rabbi Yechanan said it. But what he was telling Rabbi Akiva was, but according to you, that you say the Shiyar Mitzvah, or as someone to say is talking about the Shirayim HaPanimim, meaning, I'm talking about Shirayim HaPanimim, but, and I'm going to, and I told them they're ma'akiv, and of course, there's nothing to talk about, there's no question. But according to you, that you say the Shiyari Mitzvah, that they are considered the remnants, but Hekter Ivarim Vipadarim could be Machiach and say that even though the Shiyari Mitzvah, you still see, meaning even according to you, that's what he was saying. According to your opinion, Rabbi Akiva, don't ask me. I mean, according to me, there's no question at all. I'm not talking about Shiyari Mechitzayim, I'm talking about Shiyari Panimim, Shiyari Panimim, Amar Akim, they're integral. So there's no question. Don't ask me some of the Shiyari Mitzvah. It's not Shiyari Mitzvah, it's integral. And that was the Gemara's question. They could have just said that. He says, yes. But he was saying, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that they're not integral, whichever Shirayim he's referring to, and that he was saying, I could show even something that's not integral, that are Shiyari Mitzvah, like Evarim or Padarim, and Sligin Mechayim, and that's what Rabbi Akiva had responded back and says, no, because that's different than the, than because that's not a, not a Techil Zavayda, Evarim Padarim or Techil Zavayda, that you can be Chayim Bechutz, in contrast to, if my opinion, which I hold that it's not integral, not like you, then there's no riot why I'm asking my question, that of course if it's not integral, if it's Shiyari Mitzvah, one should not be chayiv for doing it, Bachutz. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of our perek regarding the liability of doing Avoida Bachutz. So says the Mishnah, Malik es ha'if bifnim. Now we go on to the bird karbanos. If someone does Malika, which is the appropriate Avoida that a bird karban is supposed to have inside the Azara, when one does the slaughtering of a bird carbon, they don't actually do with a knife like slaughtering, but rather the kayan takes his fingernail by his thumb and cuts through the neck of the bird. So ha'malik has a'if befnim. If someone does the appropriate malik on the bird inside the azar, the hela b'chutz, and then he goes and does inappropriately the sacrificing of the bird on the outside, so he's michayef for the isra of halah. Let's say malak b'chutz, the hela b'chutz. Let's say he does the malika on the outside and then burns it on the outside. Now, the moment he does Malik on the outside, he already made the bird into a nevela, into a dead carcass. Because Malika is not really Shechita. Malika is only Gzeris HaKasav that it works inside in the Azara. So therefore, Pater, he's going to be exempt for the Halah B'chutz, because what did you do? You didn't bring something that could have been brought inside as a carbon. It's a nevela. Now, so too, he's going to be exempt for his malika, as the Gemara said in Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, that it only says in the pasuk hasheichid, but not the malik, only slaughtering and not malika. And therefore, there's no isra of malika b'chutz, only for shechita b'chutz. So there's no problem about the shechita part, because it was a malika. There's no problem about halal, because you're not bringing any valid carbon here. You're bringing a dead animal that wasn't never had a slaughtering that would have made it viable. Continues the Mishnah. Hasheichet esa'if b'fnim. Let's say he didn't do malika on the bird inside. He did shechita on the bird inside. So the moment he did shechita on the bird inside, he already invalidated it, because there's no shechita on the bird carbon. There's only malika. So therefore, it's not any more fit and viable to have been brought as a carbon inside. So therefore, even though the halal b'chutz, now if he takes it and he sacrifices it outside, pata is going to be exempt for the halal that he does on the outside, because it has to be viable as a carbon inside to be liable for what you're doing on the halal on the outside. Now, if one's going to ask, but what do you mean? Anytime you do halal b'chutz, it already became invalidated the moment you take it out because of yaitze, or whenever one does shechita on the carbon outside, he has invalidated it, because of shechita b'chutz, which wasn't done mifnim, and still you chayv in the law. And that Rashi says, as the Gemara earlier had said this answer, that but that's exist a kasa from the Torah, where the Torah tells you that even so you chayv for shechita b'chutz and Allah b'chutz. But regarding all other invalidations, it has to be that it would be viable to have been done inside, in contrast if one does shechita on the bird carbon inside, which that's not viable because it's only malika inside that works, and therefore even if he does halal b'chutz now, he's going to be pata. Then is the Mishnah on Amud Beis. So let's say, but shachat b'chutz. Let's say not that he did the shechita on the bird carbon inside. He did the shechita on the bird outside. V'hala b'chutz, and then he does halal on the outside. So then chayiv, then he's going to be liable not only for the shechita b'chutz, but also for the halal b'chutz. Shechita, that he's going to be liable on doing the bird carbon on the outside, is because the Torah, as the Gemara says, is not enough Kav Zayin and Alf, includes from the extra words, oyash yishchat, that which are superfluous, to come to say, even if he does shechita on the bird carbon outside, even though usually malik is done in it, but the shechita is also going to be liable for doing shechita b'chutz. And the reason why it's going to be chai for also halal b'chutz is, as the Gemara says in Afkofi Yotesim and Beis, because the pasuk says, when it moves from the parish of shechita b'chutz to halal b'chutz, it says, ve'aleim taima, and to them you should say, the vav is connecting to mix the parishes to tell you that whatever you chai for shechita b'chutz, you chai for halal b'chutz, whether he does the law, or someone else does the law, and therefore, since, as we just said, from Oyash Yishchad, we include the shechita of a bird carbon b'chutz, so you'll be chayv on the law on the bird carbon b'chutz. Now, says the Mishnah, Nimtza comes out that an interesting corollary. Derech hechsher b'fnim, what validates a bird carbon inside, which is malika, is patur b'chutz, is what exempts him on if he does it on the outside. Derech hechsher b'chutz, whatever is validates a bird on the outside, which is shechita, is patur bifnim, is what exempts him if he does it on the inside. Because as we said, shechita bifnim, and then halal b'chutz is patur, it's only the shechita b'chutz, the halal b'chutz that is chayav on. Now the Gemara actually asks, specifically from the words that we just said of the case of shechita, when it's saying derech hechsher b'chutz, the way that what validates it on the outside is actually exempt if it's done on the inside. Because like we said, if you do shechita on the bird inside, you're not going to be chayav halal b'chutz. In contrast, if you do malika on the inside, then you chayav b'chutz. But if you do malika b'chutz, then you're not chayav. The question is, but those words don't really add up. Derech hechsher b'chutz, shechita is the way it validates it on the outside. Shechita on the bird carbon on the outside is anything a liability. You're actually chayav for the shechita b'chutz. Because actually, a bird carbon does not have any validity of doing shechita on the outside. So what does it mean, hechsher b'chutz? Rather, the Gemara says the way you have to read the words is derech chiyuvai. Instead of saying the words derech hechsherai, in both cases, it has to say the word chiyuvai. The way of the liability, what's done on the outside. Meaning, if you do shechita on the bird carbon on the outside, then you're going to be chayev on Allah b'chutz. That's what patur b'fnim, that's going to be the exemption if you do the shechita on the inside, then you're actually going to be exempt from the halal on the outside. And so too, when it says, derech chiyuv b'fnim, the first case that said that what's liable, not hechsheri, what's liable if you do it on the inside, which is malika, then we said if you do halal b'chutz, you're going to be chayim, that's patur b'chutz, then you're going to be exempt if you do the halal, the malika on the outside, then you're going to be exempt from the halal. Meaning, as Rashi explains, that the cases are, for example, if let's say he does the shechita on the bird carbon inside, and then he does a la b'chutz, so that we said he's going to be pater, because there is no shechita b'fnim, that invalidates it. and therefore it's not roi b'fnim sinak micham nila b'chutz. But if he slaughters it on the outside, that we said is included from the words ayah sheyishchutz yichayev, and then if you do Allah b'chutz, then you can michayev. So too in the first case, if one does malika on the inside, which is valid, and then he does Allah on the outside, he's going to michayev. But if he does malika on the outside, and then he does Allah on the outside, which the malika is not valid, it's like made into nevela, so then he's going to be potter. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. So it comes out that the place where he's going to be liable for halah, if he does that first avoida, let's say, on the inside, for example, let's say malika done on the inside, which that's the case that is valid, so then he's going to be chayef halah, b'chutz, then he's going to be exempt for his halah if he does that first avoida, meaning the malika, on the outside. And so too the other way, if the way that is Michayev and Allah is that if he does his first Avodah on the outside, for example, Shechita, then the Petur is going to be Bifnim, meaning if he then slaughters on the inside and then he does Allah B'chutz, then he's going to be exempt. Now, Reb Shimon Omer, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly on what words of the Tanakam is going on, he says, Kol Shechayav and Allah, any case that one is liable for the Halah, and that is if, let's say, his primary avayda, the first part, which we're saying the shechita or the malika, if he's going to be liable by chutz, if he does the first avayda on the outside, then chayavin al kayitzabay, then there's similarly going to be a liability if one does that first avayda bifnim, and then afterwards shehala b'chutz, and then he goes and brings it on the outside. Meaning, it's like you're saying, any case that if one's going to be liable, if he does it on the outside, then he's going to be liable for Allah. So too, if you do that first Avaida, whether it be whatever it is, Shechita Malika, if you do that same thing on the inside, and then afterwards you bring it on the outside, so then so too, you're going to be chayv in that case too. Chutz mina sheichet, the one exception to that rule is if someone slaughters a bird carbon, bifnim, first inside, umal b'chutz, and then he brings it outside and does Allah, then he's going to be exempt. Because in contrast, even though in that case, if he would do it on the outside, he would be chayiv b'halah, and Reb Shimon's principle was saying, you know, whatever you chayiv for, if you did the first part outside, and then you chayiv halah b'chutz, you're going to be chayiv, so too would apply if you did that first thing inside, and you do halah b'chutz, you're going to be chayiv. The one exception is a bird carbon, where even though if you did the shechita on the outside, and then the halah, you'd be chayiv, but if you did the shechita first inside, and then the halah b'chutz on the outside, then you're going to be pata. Now, the Gemara asked the question that we had mentioned already in the Mishnah, which was by the case of that was talking about derech hechsher mibachutz. We said that regarding the slaughtering of the bird carbon on the outside, that's p'tur bifnim, that you're exempt on halah if you do the shechit on the inside. The Gemara asks, hai hechsheroi? What do you mean? What does that mean? That's the valid way of doing the shechit on the bird carbon on the outside? That will validate it? Chiyuvayhu. That's a liability. If you do shechita on the bird carbon on the outside, what type of hechsher is that? It's anything would apply to say the word, the liability, as we said, where because that's actually violating the law of shechita b'chutz. So as the Gemara, you're right, t'ni chiyuva, you have to read both those cases, not as derech hechsheri, whether b'fnim or b'chutz, has to be derech chiyuva, which we said, and we went through the explanation already, where we said derech chiyuva b'fnim is going to be p'tur b'chutz, and their chiyuvay mebechutz is going to be p'tur b'fnim regarding both cases of malika and shechita, which in one case, you'll be liable if you do the first avayda in one area, if you do the halal b'chutz, the opposite is going to be that you're going to be patron. Now, the Mishnah continued, it says, Reb Shimon Omer v'chulu. He says the principle that we said with that one exception. So the Gemara asks, Ahecha Kai, regarding which case of the Tanakam is he going on that he's disagreeing with? And the Gemara goes through seemingly every statement of the Tanakama. The words that Reb Shimon says seemingly doesn't disagree with those words. As the Gemara explains, Ilema Reshikoi, if you think it's in the first statement that the Tanakama said, which was, Hamaylik Eif Befnim, the Tanakama said, if someone does Malika on the bird carbon on the inside, which is the way it's supposed to be, the hell of a chutz, and then it could be accepted as being burnt in the Mizbech inside, instead he burns it on the outside. So the Tanakama says, Chayiv, he's going to be liable. But malak b'chutz, v'hela b'chutz, the Tanakhama said, but if you did the malik on the outside, which is not valid, malik is only valid in the azar, do it outside, it's like just making it nevela. And therefore, it would not have been valid to do halal b'fnim, so therefore, even though you did halal b'chutz, part you're going to be exempt. So on that, you're going to say, v'omalir b'shim, Reb Shimon said back to the Tanakhama, no, ki hecha de p'nim mechayiv, just like you're liable if you do malika on the inside, you're going to be chayiv if you do halal b'chutz, B'chutz, nami mechayiv, that if you could do the malika on the outside, you're also going to be chayiv for doing the halal on the outside. If that's what you're entertaining, Reb Shimon's disagreeing with him. But then, hi, then these words that Reb Shimon says, kol shecha yovin alav b'chutz, whatever you're liable for on the outside, so too you'll be liable if you do it first on the inside. But that's not the correct wording. Kol shecha yovin alav b'fnim mibayileh, should have said, no, whatever you're liable if you do it on the inside, which is malika, so too you can be liable if you do it on the outside. Not the other way around. Not whatever you're liable on the outside, you're also liable on the inside. So, Ella, rather, that's obviously not what he was saying. Rather, what Reb Shimon was saying was, ki heichad debechutz, loy mechayiv, just like the malika on the bird, you the Tanakama are saying. If you do the malika on the outside, you're not going to be liable. So Reb Shimon was disagreeing, and he was saying, then so too, befnim nami loy lechayiv, then what if you do malika even on the inside, and then do Allah b'chutz, you're also not going to be liable. That is like more, even if that's what he was saying. But then, hai kol she'ein chayavin lav b'chutz mibayli. Then his words shouldn't have been, whatever you're liable on the outside, you're liable on the inside. His words should have then been, whatever you're not liable on the outside, which is a malika b'chutz, then you're not going to be liable on that on the inside, which is a malika b'fnim. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say the words she'ein. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Reb Shimon is obviously not disagreeing with that first halacha. Ella aseifakoy is going on the next case, not of malika on the bird carbon, but rather on the shechit of the bird carbon. Tanakama then continued and he said, if someone slaughters the bird carbon inside, which is not valid, one does not do shechit on the bird carbon inside. So it makes it invalid. And then he doesn't sacrifice it on the outside. So Tanakama says, Pot is going to be exempt because it wasn't valid inside to be chayv for doing Allah on the outside. Let's say, but shachat b'chutz, let's say slaughtered on the outside, which there it has, it's obviously not valid, but it has validity in the sense of the liability of shechit b'chutz, like we have by every behema carbon, like we said, because it's included from the words ayashi yishchat, and therefore the hella b'chutz, if one then sacrifices after that, he's going to be chayv, he's going to be liable. So on that, you're going to tell me, v'amli Reb Shimon said back to Tanakama, he says, no. Ki heichi de b'fnim loy mechayiv, just like you agree that if the shechita of the bird carbon was done inside, there's no liability for hella b'chutz. So b'chutz nami loy mechayiv, no. Also, because we see that Reb Shimon draws a parallel between inside and outside, saying, no, on the outside, if one did a shechita on the bird carbon, he also would not be liable on the labachot. On that, as the Gemara, if that's the case, haikol she'ein chayav mebeile, his word should have been, whatever you're not liable on the inside, then you're also not going to be liable on the outside, but that's not the words he says. He doesn't say that's not. He says, what is liable? So, Ella, rather, you're going to say, no, what Reb Shimon was saying is, ki heichid debechutz mechayiv, just like, and this would seem to be exactly what he was saying, because his words are kol shecha yovin lav b'chutz. He's coming to say, no, whatever you're liable, what you do on the outside, which is the shechita on the bird carbon on the outside, b'fnim nami mechayiv, you'll be liable even if you do that on the inside. Oh, that sounds just like what Reb Shimon's words are. But on that says the Gemara, b'hal katani, but Reb Shimon's words are, right after that, he says chutz. The one exception to the principle that he says is min ha-sheichit b'fnim v'mal b'chutz. Says, the exception to this rule is, if one slaughters a bird carbon on the inside, and then he sacrifices on the outside, oh, that's an exception to my principle, that you're going to be potter. But that's exactly what the Tanakama said, so what's he disputing the Tanakama? The only case that made sense for his words were for the case of the shechita of the bird carbon. That's what Tanakama says, that if you do it on the inside, you're potter, and the outside, you're chayiv. But if that's the principle that Reb Shimon is disagreeing with, but that's the one case that he says, that principle will not apply. So what exactly is he disagreeing and disputing with Tanakama? The difference between them is actually not something that's said in the text of a Mishnah, but rather there are words missing in the Mishnah in the opinion of the Tanakhama, and the difference between them is regarding a case where an animal carbon was slaughtered at nighttime. That's the difference. And this is what the Tanakhama was saying. He was saying also, if someone slaughtered an animal carbon inside the Azara, but it was done at nighttime, the hell about chutz, and then he goes and he sacrifices it outside, potter is going to be exempt. Because that's not going to be viable and accepted inside, because the pasuk says in Be'ikri Yotes, B'yem Zevchachem, on the day when it's slaughtered, which that halacha tells us, even if it's someone then subsequently brings on the Mizbech, Teirit is going to come down, because as Rashi explains, the Tanakhama is like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who said in Perek Mizbech, Mekadosh Tav Pidalim and Aleph, that the case of Nishcha Tabalayla, but slaughtered at nighttime, it's excluded, and it's not going to have the halacha, if him olu lo yerdu. So like we said, something that's not accepted inside is not going to be chayv for lo b'chutz on the outside. Whereas shachat, and this follows the same parallels that we're talking about regarding inside and outside, But shachat b'chutz b'alayla, the hel b'chutz, and this is why the Tanakhama adds this into the cases that when we're talking about regarding the bird kabbanis, why we're talking about animal kabbanis, because it shares the same parallel where we're creating discrepancies between what's done inside and outside, like we made between the case of malika and shechita, says the same thing regarding the animal carbon at nighttime. If it's done at nighttime inside, so that's not a viable carbon, so you're not chayef ala b'chutz. But shachat b'chutz b'alayla, but if let's say we slaughter it outside at nighttime, and then v'hel b'chutz, then it was slaughtered out, then it was sacrificed outside, then actually chayef, then he's going to be liable, because in regards to slaughtering it on the outside, that doesn't make a difference if it's nighttime or daytime, because it was still fit to be lovei el pesach el mayid, how so? If it was slaughtered, if it would have been done the following day. So it was something that could have been done inside, and therefore, since you chayv v'shchita b'chutz, you're also going to be liable for halah b'chutz. Why? It's because we said the pasuk tells about leim taimer. Whatever you chayv v'shchita b'chutz, which you are chayv v'shchita b'chutz, because it could have been slaughtered inside, so then you're going to be chayv on halah b'chutz. Now, on that is what Reb Shimon Oimer, Reb Shimon was coming to argue, and he said that no. Whatever you're going to be liable for doing it on the outside, meaning like you're agreeing the case of Shechitas Behemah Balayla, you say that you chayef ala b'chutz with slaughter on the outside, b'chutz balayla. Chayavin al kayetze by bifnim v'hela b'chutz. That's the case that he's talking about, that so too the parallel will be that you'll be chayef if you do the Shechitas Behemah Balayla inside to be chayef on the law b'chutz. Why? Because someone who slaughters an animal at nighttime inside and then sacrifice an outside according to Reb Shimon, you're going to be chayev. It's going to be according to Reb Shimon, just like the case when you slaughter on the outside, because he holds, if you slaughter an animal at nighttime inside, the halacha is also loy teret, not like Reb Yehuda. If it was put on the mizbech, you're not going to take it down, like his opinion is mentioned, Perkei Mizbech Mekadesh. That there the Mishnah teaches, Reb Shimon says that it says oyla. I would only know that the halacha is to be liable regarding a kosher oyla. How do you know the same thing is for nishchata balayla? The halacha is yes, if it was Allah leiterid, and therefore then you're going to have the liability if it's done at nighttime inside and then brought outside. So therefore that's the case that Reb Shimon was disputing the Tanakhama. Now, however, that's what Reb Shimon then concludes the statement by saying, Chutz ben ha-sheichet oif bifnim v'hel b'chutz. So although I said this principle that whatever is done inside is going to be chayv, that whatever is done outside is going to be chayv inside, the exception to that rule is if someone slaughters a bird carbon inside and then they sacrifice outside, because there Reb Shimon agrees that if that's done inside, slaughtering a bird carbon, im Allah yerid, if it was put up, you are going to take it down, because when you do shechita on the bird inside, that's not the valid avodah that's supposed to be done to it. So that's just like killing it, as the Gemara says in Perkei Mizbech Mekadesh, Tapeyim and Aleph. So therefore, that's not something that would be accepted inside for halah, and thus, if one does that halah on the outside, you're going to be pater, so that defies the principle that he says, because shechita b'chutz, you are chayv, and thus halah b'chutz also. And therefore, that's the exception to the rule. But again, the disagreement he has regarding the Tanakhama is in the case that's not even mentioned in our Mishnah, which the words are missing, regarding Nishchata Behema Balayla, in regards to if Bifnim is like Bachutz or not. A similar interpretation, Rav Amei says, Kabbalah B'Kli Chaylik Ebenad. The difference between them is if it was received in an unconsecrated vessel. And V'Hachikam, and these are the words that are missing from the words of the Tanakhama in the Mishnah. Tanakhama said, V'chein ha-mekabel b'kli chol b'fnim, so too, there's a discrepancy, as in the halachas we said regarding the bird carbon in our Mishnah, some receives the carbon in an unconsecrated vessel inside, v'hel b'chutz, and then he brings in and sacrifices in the outside. So that's what Tanakhama says, that potter is going to be exempt. Why? Because regarding this case, if he does it inside, the halacha is im olu yerid. If it was even brought up on top of mizbech, it's going to come down. Why? Because receiving the blood in an unconsecrated vessel is just like it spilled on the floor. It's not a valid Kabbalah. And it's going like a Yehuda, similar like in the previous interpretation, who he does not hold in this case im olu lo yerid, because he holds the only case is that if you put it up, you're not going to take it down, is if it was left out overnight, or was taken out of the perimeter, or was slaughtered with a machshava, chutzazman, chutzam kaima, or if it's received the blood by those who are invalid to, which are specifically those who are apostle that are appropriate to do that voidis tzibur, like the Gemara explains in Bezbech Mekadesh, like a tamei. But in regards to the case of a kli chayil, that's even if it would be alu yerdu. So it's not valid at all, and therefore if you do it on the outside, you're exempt. Whereas a makabal b'kli chayil, b'chutz, v'hel b'chutz chayiv. In contrast, similar to like the previous interpretation, if you receive the blood, which could have been received appropriately inside the base of the Mikdash, thus if one receives it inappropriately with an unconsecrated vessel on the outside, and then the sacrifice on the outside, chayiv is going to be liable. On that, Rav Shimon Aima, he disagreed, and that's what he says his principle. No. Kol shachiyam labuchutz, whatever you're liable for, if you do it on the outside, which you're agreeing regarding a kli chayil that's done on the outside, chayav and al kiyetza by bifnim, behalabuchutz. So too, even if you do that on the inside, you receive the blood of an unconsecrated vessel, and then you sacrifice on the outside, you're going to be chayiv. The reason for that is also because Rav Shimon holds, if you do that on the inside, Rav Shimon holds, in that case, I'm also loy terud. If you receive an unconsecrated vessel, although you're not supposed to, and it's not valid, but if you put it on Tamas Beich, you're not going to take it down. Even if the blood spills out, he holds as the Gemara teaches over there. So thus, it would be valid at least after the fact, and therefore you chayv for doing it on the outside. But that's what he says. But what defies my principle is a case of slaughtering a bird carbon inside, which is like killing it, and therefore it's not valid as a carbon to sacrifice it to do Allah bifnim, to be chayv in Allah b'chutz. Although one is chayv for doing that, shechita b'chutz and halal b'chutz, so it's not exactly like the principle, but it's still that he disagrees regarding the case of kli chayv. However, says the Gemara, another interpretation. Now that the father of Shmuel, Bar Av Yitzchok, said the following braisa, that the Tanakhama says, Hamoylik eif bifnim. Someone does malik on the bird carbon inside, which is the appropriate way it's supposed to be done. The halabachot chayiv, and then you do halabachot, so that's a valid, inappropriate halabachot, so you can be chayiv. In contrast, malik b'chutz, behalabachot's pater. If you do malik on the outside, which is not valid, so it's just like making it into nevela, and do halabachot, so you can be pater. And the braisa quotes Rib Shimon Mechayiv. Rib Shimon says that you're going to be liable for doing malika on the outside, meaning, and then you do halal b'chot, you're going to be liable. So that says the Gemara. So then Rib Shimon Hasmakai, so we can have a more compatible interpretation of what Rib Shimon is disagreeing with in the halacha of our Mishnah. He's going on that opinion that he said over in that braisa. The Tani, and you should read into the words of Reb Shimon, you should amend the way it's said in our Mishnah. And the words are not like it says in our Mishnah that whatever you chayv b'chutz, so too you chayv b'fnim, rather it's the inverse. Kol shechayav nilav b'fnim, what he's saying is, referring to his opinion mentioned in the Braisa, for whatever you're liable, what you do it on the inside, for example, which the Tanakam agrees to, if you do malika on the inside, and then you do Allah b'chutz, you chayiv, and if you do malika, whatever you do on the inside, v'hela b'chutz, and you're then liable if you do it on the outside. That's what Rav Shimon is saying. It's chayav in lav b'chutz. So too, you can be liable if you do that same thing, which is what he says clearly in the braisa, malika b'chutz. You still can be liable for doing that halah b'chutz. Now, that's what Rashi comes to explain, but then the end of his statement that says, except if one slaughters inside and then is mal b'chutz, that's going to be an exception to the rule. Exactly then, what is he referring to if that's not what he's talking about, the way we're reinterpreting his statement? So that says Rashi is going on the inferential part of Reb Shimon's statement, meaning you could infer from what Reb Shimon's saying, the way we're interpreting right now, is, okay, whatever you're liable for inside, like what you're talking about Malika, you can be liable if you do it on the outside, meaning if you do Malika on the outside, then you can do Allah b'chutz, you'll be chayiv there too. The inference is, whatever you're not liable for doing it on the inside, and then you do it Allah b'chutz, if you're not going to be liable on that, which case is that? For example, let's say kachim that were puzzled even before they came to the azar, which are called the not pesulim b'kodesh. They were intrinsically invalidated, like an animal that sodomized or was sodomized, that whole list. So in those cases, he's not chayiv for doing halal b'chutz. So therefore, it come out of contrary to Shimon's principle that you're not going to be liable if you slaughter those animals also on the outside and you're mal b'chutz. That you're not going to be chayiv on those cases. Why not? Well, the shechita is not going to be chayiv because it's not vel pesach moed lo hevir, because an animal that sodomized or was sodomized is not valid to be brought inside, so thus you're not chayiv for doing the shechita on the outside. And so too, regarding the halah, why would you think it'd be chayiv? Just like it's not considered el pesach el moed lo biyan regarding the shechita, so it's not valid regarding the halah. And that's what Reb Shimon is saying, that yes, my statement, which works both ways, including the inferential way, that not only would I say what you chayiv inside, you're going to be that you can be chayiv on the outside, but my statement also infers whatever you put on the inside, you put on the outside. There is an exception to that principle, except for someone who slaughters a bird carbon inside and then sacrifices on the outside, where in that case, even though he's going to be exempt for doing the halal b'chutz, but he will be liable in the other case of if he slaughters it on the outside and then he's mal b'chutz, Because that, as we said, we already included from Daf Kav Zayin and Aleph, that the slaughtering of the bird crumb on the outside is liable from the pasuk Oyasha Yishchad, and hence, by default, the halal is also chayv because from Malayim Taimer. So regarding that inferential statement, that he says there's an exception to that rule, that you could have a case that is exempt on the inside, but would still be chayv on the outside. But again, those are the three different interpretations, what Reb Shimon is disagreeing with the Tanakhama, not, according to the first two interpretations, not what was said in the Brice itself. But there are other cases that Tanakhama was including in the same disparity that he makes between inside and outside, and that Reb Shimon was disagreeing, either whether it be by Shechita, Behemah, Balayla, or because regarding Kli Chayil, that he says, no, there's no difference. Just like in Michai, if you're doing on the outside, you're Michai on the inside. Well, the third interpretation was saying, like a statement Reb Shimon has in the Brisa, which clearly disagrees with the Halacha that the Tanakhama says in our Mishnah, but then one has to say it in the opposite way, that whatever you Chayiv, what you do on the inside, which is Malika, so to Michayiv, if you do Malika on the outside, where although generally Malika makes it an Avela, but since that would have been a valid Avela inside, so you Chayiv on that, and then once you Chayiv on the Malika, so you Michayiv on the law of Bachotz too. Now, at the Mishnah, the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme, concluding our parak with this topic of Bachotz, says the Mishnah, Chatas Shekibul Dama B'Kais Echad. Regarding the carbon Chatas, which the blood is received in a vessel, and let's say it's received all the blood in one vessel, and then Nasim b'chutz. So the Kohen went and he threw the blood on the outside. V'chazav nasim b'fnim, and then he went and he threw the blood on the inside, meaning in the azara as it's supposed to be. So regarding this case that the Mishnah told him that he's going to be liable for doing the zrika b'chutz, that says Rashi, that was not necessary to say, because that's obvious. If you did the first zrika, which is integral, you did on the outside, you're chayev for the halacha of halal b'chutz. Rather, it's because of the next case that we have to say it, which is the opposite case. Let's say he first did the zrika bifnim, which was appropriate. And then, v'chazav anasim b'chutz, after he did the zrika inside, he then goes and throws from the blood on the outside. Then, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah to tell us, he's going to be chayiv for halal b'chutz, shekuli ro bifnim. Because all of the blood, even the leftover part of the blood, is fit to be brought inside. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that even though this blood is called shirayim, they're leftover blood, you're still going to be liable for doing the b'chutz, because as Rashi points out, the anonymous opinion of our Mishnah is going like Reb Nechemi that we taught in the previous Mishnah, who holds that one's chayiv for a chatas even on the shirayim b'chutz. That's if you receive the blood in one vessel. Says the Mishnah, let's say kibul dama b'shtei kaisis. Let's say the blood is received in two vessels. Now, nasin shneim b'fnim patur. So if you put both bloods on the inside, although, let's say one would have done already all the avodas with the first one, but you're going to be exempt. You didn't do it b'chutz. Let's say shneim b'chutz. Let's say you throw both bloods out of the azar, so then you chayiv. Now, as Rashi points out, there's going to be one liability because it's one isser of this carbon. But if, let's say, he had awareness in between, so there were two lapses of awareness, okay, then he'll be liable for two separate chiyuvim on those that same isser, but it was done two times. But each one is liable because he did it on the outside. Now, Echad befnim ve'echad b'chutz. Let's say the first one was done inside, and then the second one was done outside. So then pater, as Rashi points out, this is even according to Reb Nechemia, who generally he holds that even shirayim yichayv if you do it on the outside, because as the Gemara is going to explain, he holds that when you receive the blood of the karma chatas in two different vessels, and you do all the avodas, all the zrikas were done with that one vessel, that leftover cup is not considered shirayim, it's considered dochoy, rejected. And therefore it's not even considered like leftovers to be liable, it's just like useless blood, which gets poured out to the canal, and therefore, if one sprays that cup's blood outside, it's not chayiv because it was not valid inside, even as shirayim. Now, but let's say echad b'chutz ve'echad b'fnim. Let's say the first cup he sprays its zrikas on the outside, and then the second cup he sprays its zrikas on the inside. So in chayiv alachitzen, so he's liable for the ones that he threw on the outside, because that's a valid avayda that he could have done inside and he's doing on the outside. V'hapanimi mechaper, but the second cup that he does on the inside is going to actually provide the atonement to validate the carbon because he's throwing its blood on the inside. As the Gemara says in Perek Kolas Vachem Shenis Arvu in the Pei Beizam et Aleph, that the one cup that he took outside and did it inappropriately does not make the leftover cup to have the same halacha. That cup is still valid, and therefore when he uses that cup for the appropriate zrikas inside, it will provide the atonement for that carbon chatas. Now, says the Mishnah, Lamaha Davadayma. For what could this halacha that we're talking about in our Mishnah be comparable to? Which the Gemara is going to explain, why do we need to compare it to this metaphor, and what exactly do we learn that one from the other? But the Mishnah says as follows: you could compare it l'mafresh chatas leiva avda, to someone who had a karba chatas, who he separated it, had it ready to bring, and then he lost it. Okay, v'hifesh acheres tachtei, he didn't have his carbon, so he went and designated a new animal in his place. Then he subsequently found the first one. Now he has two animals. Now he has both karbanas standing. So says the Mishnah, the case would be as follows. Similar like we just said before regarding the receiving of the bloods and the cups. Shachet shtein bifnim pater. If he slaughters both of them inside the azar, so he's exempt. He didn't do anything inappropriate. Shtein machutz chayv. If he slaughtered both of them on the outside, he's going to be liable for each one. Because why liable for each one? Because at the moment of slaughtering, each one was fit to have its bloods brought inside. So they're both valid karbon neschatas to be chayv for doing the shchita machutz. Achas bifnim v'achas machutz. Let's say he did the first one, he slaughtered inside. And the second one he then slaughtered outside. So then pater is going to be exempt. Why? Because the moment that he did the first one inside already, so that already is a valid carbon chattas. That makes the remaining one a chattas shechibro baleho, a carbon chattas that he already had atonement from the first carbon, and therefore the second one is gonna go to its death, and it's not accepted as a carbon chattas inside. So the fact that he did the second one outside is inconsequential, and therefore he's gonna be exempt. But let's say achas b'chutz v'achas b'fnim. Let's say he first did the avoidus of the first one outside and then the second carbon inside. So then chayv al chitzayna. So then he's going to be liable for the one that he did outside because that was the first one he did. And at that moment, it was fit to have been brought inside because he could have chosen whichever one he wanted to. So therefore, he's liable for doing those avoidus outside. V'apanimi mechaperes. But the second one that he did in the inside, so that will atone for the owner because that's still a bona fide karma chatzis that he's bringing for the owner by doing it in the appropriate place inside. Now, once we mentioned this parable to compare to the halacha of HaMishnah, so the Mishnah tells us regarding this halacha of having the two karbanos chatas, kesheim shedama paiter es besara, just like the blood of the carbon when you spray and you do the zrikas, it exempts the meat of the carbon from having the violating the law of me'ila, of misappropriation, because when once the blood of a carbon is thrown, it removes the meat of the carbon, the kachikachim, from the law of me'ila, because then it's when it permits the kohanim to eat from the meat. Says the Mishnah, so too kachi pateres es pesach haverta. So too, it permits the meat of the other optional carbon chattas. Even though, essentially we're saying, it's what invalidates the second carbon from being brought as a carbon chattas. Because the moment you do the zrikas adam on the first one, when it's permitting its own meat, because that's what always happens, it's thus saying that the second one is not going to be the karma chattas. Like we said in the case of when you do the first one inside and then the second one outside, you're not chayiv, because it's not anymore an optional karma chattas. As Rashi explains, it's going on the case of when both of them were slaughtered inside. And it's telling us, specifically, if let's say you slaughtered both of them inside, so they're both viable, we don't know which one, they're both done inside. Now, both of them have their bloods in cups. That's what the Mishnah is saying. If he went and he threw ready the blood of one of the karbanas, so that automatically designated that one as the karban chatas, it now exempts even the other one from the halachas of me'ila because it's not a karban chatas anymore. It's like a karban chatas shekipur ba'alah, which the owner already had atonement with the first one, which the Gemara tells him sechtes me'ila, like in the case of chatois hamesis, regarding the karban chatas, if the owner died, the halach is you're not supposed to have benefit, but there's no more me'ila from it because it's not considered a viable karban chatas. Now, as Rashi points out, however, but regarding the halacha of, to tell us regarding the case of that you're not going to be liable for it regarding shchutei chutz, like we said, that was the case which we said once you do the first one inside, you're not liable for the second one outside, that says Rashi, we didn't have to tell you that it's not going to be any more me'il over there, because that's like, that's the case of when it's killed, where there's no more me'il anymore, as the Gemara says in that first sugim sechtes me'ila, where kachim that died, there's no me'ila. So we know regarding that case that there's no me'ila. The chiddush was even when both of them are inside and they're both valid, once you do the zrik of one of them, you're not going to have the law of me'ila on the other one. And again, the reason why we brought this in was only because we was talking about comparing it to the laws of doing, because we said that this case of shchita b'chutz is similar to the case of the bloods of the karbanos, which there's two cups, so too regarding the two animals. So therefore, I went through this part as the Gemara in the first paragraph says, "Meil daf mambeis." Also goes through this whole thing, but it's just brought in as an addendum because we brought in this case. As the Gemara explain what's it actually coming to teach. We're going to the first case of the two cups, one inside, one outside, or one both inside or both outside. So we said we're going to two animals karmachatas that will have the same parallel halacha.